This is Inside Wealth, the ultimate disclosure on Talk 910 KNEW. Living a healthy and happy life is about awakening the matters of your wallet, balanced by concerns of your heart. Now, Stu Zimmerman.
Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Inside Wealth, where we talk about the kind of wealth that money alone just can't buy. Yes, indeed, we're talking about a joy for living. Because let's face it, with all the craziness that's going on in the world, whether it's in the economy, whether it's in our relationships, whether it's in the political environment that we live in, isn't it an absolute blessing to be alive? Or at the very minimum, it certainly beats the alternative. So how are we going to make the most out of this great gift, okay? Let's consider it a gift. That's what this is about, where we focus on how we can be the best human beings we could possibly be, even in the context of making money, or just in relationship, or just walking down the street, just being who you are, and having an outlook on life where, you know what? Whatever joyride this is supposed to be, and maybe we don't have all the answers, with all due respect to whatever your religious belief is, maybe we don't have all the answers. You know what? Maybe today, maybe this moment is a great opportunity to look around and say, you know what? Yeah, it's good to be alive. In fact, it's a great day to be alive. That's what this is about. How can we be living a great day to be alive at home, at work, at play, you name it. That's what it's about. With us today, we've got a great guest, Gwen Mazur. She's an author, style consultant. We don't have many of those on the show. Hopefully she likes our style. A workshop leader, and wrote a very fascinating book called Wise Talk, Wild Women, where she explores feelings, beliefs, attitudes of a dozen women or more, women like Barbara Marx Hubbard, who I know personally. She's an amazing thinker, a futurist, activist, Dolores Huerta, Nikki Giovanni, a poet, and many others who are growing of age and into their wise years in this 21st century of ours. So obviously this goes far beyond Hillary here in terms of the surge of feminine wisdom impacting our world. And so we want to hear from Gwen what's got going on with her. We also have Hal Adler, a new contributor to our winning business segment. Hal was a featured guest here of several weeks ago. And if you hadn't heard that show, come to our website at insidewealth.net and listen to it. That's insidewealth.net. He is the president of a Great Place to Work Institute. And they recently came out with their findings in Fortune magazine, their annual findings, where Google ranked number one. Congratulations, Sergey and Larry. You know, and where it's really clear, and he'll share more today as well, it's really clear that having a vibrant corporate culture and being sustainably profitable over time go hand in hand. And you really can't have one without the other. It's even better than love and marriage. Okay, maybe not. I'm getting some eyebrows here. Suffice it to say, before we get to Gwen and Hal, as always, you get this week's heaping helping bowl of stew. Well, look, where are we now? It's a good question. We certainly are in time, right around President's Day. So let's go a little thematic here. And drum up the band with a little presidential look at life here through the lens of Inside Wealth. And I also want to incorporate one of my passions in life, which is sports, which I absolutely love. And I must tell you that Super Bowl victory by the Giants is still reverberating through all my cells. It just is. For a whole host of reasons, primarily because it underscores that anything is possible. Anything is possible. This was David beating Goliath. This was, you know, one of the biggest upsets of all time. And all I can say is, isn't that cool? With all due respect to Tom Brady, Belichick, and all those other guys who were great on the Patriots side, and it was a fantastic contest and great end game all the way through. But the fact that anything is possible, isn't that the premise that this country was built on? You know, We talked about, it's not talked about, it's written that all men are created equal. And that was one of the things that made this country absolutely fantastic and great. Even though it wasn't just the Bill of Rights, it was more of a Bill of Goods. Because we all know that back then, all men weren't created equal. Let alone women who weren't even mentioned. Let alone blacks who were not considered men legally. Or Native Americans who weren't considered men legally. So when you take a look at all of it, all men are created equal, may have been a little bit of a tagline, or maybe a marketing piece or a buzzword or a meme or whatever you call it out there, that really didn't fully live up to its potential. Which brings us back to the Super Bowl, where anything is possible. And why not go back to this core, which, by the way, is what Inside Wealth is all about. It is about all of us going into our core. And as opposed to taking for granted what our parents, God bless them, our religious teachers, whoever it is, our political leaders, tell us right from wrong, tell us the way things are. Inside Wealth is about going into our core. Because believe it or not, we actually have our own wisdom in there. And you know that. And that's what it's about, tapping into that. So here we are, President's Day. Nice, now it's nice and convenient. Get to make it logical. Do it on a Monday. Combine a couple of guys who were born in February. Call him George Washington, the guy who fought off the British with the swords to be our first president. You know, I cannot tell a lie guy. And then we have 16 presidents later, or is it 15 presidents later, the 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, where he keeps our country together, where clearly it was going to fall apart and it was going to be at least two countries and who knows how many others if he wasn't around. And in the process of keeping our country together, he also helped to deliver more on that premise and promise of all men being created equal. So here we are now. Does it feel like we're at a crossroads to you? You know, here we are, we have this giant sucking sound out there, and just in the time that we've been on the air so far in this show, we've spent over $4 million in Iraq, just as we're on this show right now. And oh, by the way, if I keep yakking, it'll be another $500,000. Oh, there it goes. Okay? Which, oh, by the way, I don't know about you, but if you really were to prioritize what means most in your life, would you put maybe education for your children or your children's children or people in this country above that, or maybe healthcare above that? Are there any things, or homeless, or providing homes for homeless, or other things that could make perhaps a greater difference to humanity and uplift humanity more and help to deliver on that promise and premise of all men being created equal? Perhaps a little more than bombing, with all due respect to Iraq, a third world country that is actually younger than Paul Newman. That's Bill Maher's line. I like him, and I'm going to give him credit. So here we are on President's Day, and we are at a crossroads. Let's make no mistake about it, not to be overly dramatic, but we have an opportunity right now to go into our core, where we know that anything is possible. In fact, a lot of the possibilities ain't so pretty, okay? Whether it's economic, political, or what have you. They're just not. Where we have an opportunity to go into our core and settle for nothing less than what we know in our heart to be true. Not what we were told, not what we were taught, not what's in any book, not what's in any Bible, with all due respect, that has great wisdom there, but within our own hearts, in our own minds. And how can we take this country, how can we take our lives, how can we take this entire planet? Because it used to be a country, there ain't no country anymore. I hate to tell you, in many ways, it's one world, and we're all interdependent on each other, no matter how much we would like to think to the contrary. We need their goods and services, they need ours, it's all in the flow together. Let's get used to it. Let's make the most of it. Okay, let's celebrate it. Let's empower it to the fullest. So as you consider, now we're on President's Day, our Super Bowl is coming up the first Tuesday in November, okay? This is the game plan. Go into your heart, please, please do it for yourself and ask yourself what means most to you. And then take a look at the candidates based upon your priorities. And if you go into your heart far enough, you may just find that who's going to create the greatest sense of peace, the greatest sense of love and kindness for one humanity, that can inspire us all to new heights. Maybe that person should be our next president. And with that, we have a woman, Gwen Mazur, who's bringing to us directly as an author of the book Wise Talk Wild Women, some wisdom from the feminine side of life. And this definitely predates Hillary, just so you know. This wise women thing has been going on long before Ms. Clinton joined the scene. Of course, she's always welcome to join the scene because we really can't have enough wisdom in the world, can we? Can we? I don't think so. And so I just want to get right into it, Gwen. And before we talk about your book, I do want to ask you, as we ask a lot of our guests, about success, because there's a lot of information out there, and some of it is misinformation. And so how do you define success?
Well, I've been thinking about that question, and I think that success is doing what you love every day, making a difference in the world, making a difference to those around you, and having the opportunity to not only be doing what you love, but allowing you to live well. So dancing in many ways to the tune of your own drum, as many of the women in Wise Talk Wild Women have done, has allowed for good things to occur in the world, so they're making a difference in the world, and living to their purpose. And I think it's finding that purpose. Why are we here? What were we meant to do in this world that gives us joy? So you think about all of the people who are plodding through life every day, working to make money, and deep within them is a peace that is not being realized, that is perhaps the real reason they're meant to be here, and that's their real contribution to the world. And that's kind of contrary to what success is billed as. You know, you're supposed to go out and make certain milestones, and oftentimes he who has the most toys is not necessarily happy, fulfilled, enjoying life. But in our society, maybe that's what success has been proposed as.
So in your own personal life, before we get to the book, in your own personal life,
mm-hmm.
what is your recipe for your success? How do you tap into this sense of purpose, joy for living, and making a difference?
I've been lucky. I had a grandfather who told me that I should fly as high as the stars, and that there was nothing that I couldn't do. Consequently, I really believed it. And I've been fortunate in many ways in my life to have done what I've wanted to do and had fun doing it. So I've been dancing to the tune of my own drum for a long time. Not that that doesn't come without its own challenges, because if you are living your creative passion, which for me is the most important, I know I came into this world to do certain things, and I've been lucky to be able to continue to do them, whether it's owning stores, being in the advertising world, being in the fashion world, being an author, being a consultant. It's been my idea of my way to contribute and to make a difference with men, with women, and I particularly have enjoyed working with women of every age and stage, and making a difference in their lives.
So, Gwen, is that what inspired you? And we are talking with Gwen Mazur, by the way, who wrote a wonderful book called Wise Talk, Wild Women. Is that what inspired you to write the book in the first place?
Give me a little
more. To make a difference in people's lives.
Oh, absolutely.
Working with women.
Oh, absolutely. Having had an image management company for years and being in the world of advertising and retail and working with women intimately, I became very aware of how media messages particularly have affected women. We have lived in a society where youth is everything. And of course, that's market segmentation that gets us to buy products, you know,
sure,
at every age and stage. And because I'm so acutely aware of that market segmentation and the effect it has, I see young women at 30 worrying about growing old when they're just beginning to get their legs and really understand their meaning and purpose in the world. And I have had the experience of many women who felt invisible, washed up, not seen, and not valued. For myself, at the age of 60, I came down with my pneumonia, my mother became ill, and my brother was diagnosed with cancer. None of us had ever been ill before. My brother recuperated, and I began to look at, what is this business of age? What does this mean? Who am I at this stage? And that's how this inquiry began.
Well, that's a great place for us to pick up with. We're going to be right back with Gwen Mazur, where we all get to take a look at not only the wisdom in her book, but also answer the questions for ourselves. Who are we all at our core? We'll have more Inside Wealth right here on Talk Radio 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco. You want to build your business with people just like you. People who are intelligent, focused, and mindful. People like you who understand that wealth goes far beyond dollars and cents. So doesn't it make sense to deliver this message to folks who really get it? That's what happens when you sponsor Inside Wealth. Call 707-425-2360 or go to insidewealth.net and find out how you can become a player on Inside Wealth, the greatest show on work.
Are you looking to help give back to the community but need great flexibility? Tony La Russa's Animal Rescue Foundation, ARF, has a flexible volunteer position tailored just for you. You can share in the triumph of helping an orphan kitten or puppy, as well as receive unconditional love. ARF needs volunteer fosters to provide a little extra time or attention until these animals can be adopted into their forever homes. ARF will provide the food, medication, and support, and you provide the love. Check out ARF.net or call 925-256-1ARF today. Please give puppies and kittens another chance.
Imagine, you're lying in your bed stranded because you can't walk. Your friends and family go about their day, but you're left behind. You can't move without dragging your lifeless legs across the ground, stumbling every step, struggling to carry the entire weight of your body on two arms. This is reality for more than 100 million children and adults worldwide. They simply can't afford the one thing that will change everything, a wheelchair. We're the Wheelchair Foundation. We deliver hope, mobility, and freedom to impoverished people across the globe. And now you can be part of this great mission. A small gift from you can buy a brand new wheelchair and set a suffering person free. You won't believe how little it takes. Transform a life instantly. To make a donation or to find out how you can help, call the Wheelchair Foundation.
Call toll free. 888-378-3839. 888-378-3839.
I'd like to mail you free information about Craftmatic adjustable beds. Why Craftmatic? Because Craftmatic beds help your body feel better. Yet Craftmatic Model 2 adjustable beds cost hundreds less than many quality flat beds. And Craftmatic 3s are just 50% of Craftmatic 2's low cost. Craftmatic beds adjust to hundreds of healthful positions to help you relax and sleep better. Plus, they're available with optional heat and massage. For good health, find out about Craftmatic. Call toll-free and you'll receive a free catalog by mail, plus details on Craftmatic 3s, which are just 50% of Craftmatic 2's low cost.
Hello, I'd like to receive your free catalog and information by mail.
Certainly, sir.
See how easy it is? Call a friendly operator for your free catalog.
Dial 1-800-546-1818 toll-free. Call 1-800-546-1818. That's 1-800-546-1818.
I'm Stu Zimmerman, creator of Inside Wealth. Welcome to the movement that takes your wealth to the next level, beyond the surface of money to the service of money, where you get provocative commentary and lively conversation about Inside Wealth, right here on Talk 910 KNEW. We're here with Gwen Mazur, who's an author, wrote a wonderful book called Wise Talk, Wild Women. She's been a style consultant and advertising executive and speaker and workshop leaders. Women of much experience in many hats. And I want to get into the book a little bit, and also we'll tap into your experience in the advertising world as well, because this whole notion of too rich or too thin thing is, it just doesn't, it's not true. It's not true at our core. And frankly, it not only does harm to women, which I know that you are very sensitive to, being one and seeing firsthand how all these, you mentioned the 30-year-old who is, you know, blossoming, and she's worried about that one little, you know, crow's nest thing going on, crow's foot thing or whatever. But it also men. Believe it or not, it affects men just as much as women, where they're looking for the next trophy. They're not willing to go as deep. They're being told, you know, the same thing. And it affects people on the other side of the coin as well.
I think that's absolutely true. One of the things that I'm noticing with men is there are more and more products for men to feel insecure about. More and more images of men looking a certain way. But this is something that women have had to deal with forever. And so I wanted to create a book that really showed women at 60 and beyond to be a signpost for those coming behind us and for younger women to really understand that there are so many stages of growth in life and that the most important thing is to continue to redefine who you are. If we're stagnant, we're dying. If you're growing, you're going to be changing every 7 years at least. And also that age in many ways, particularly now, is a number. Women over the age of 65 have come through some of the most extraordinary times in American history. We are the first women in American history to have gone through birth control, having adequate and reliable birth control, the women's movement, civil rights movement, and women are coming into full power and realization. As you mentioned earlier with Barbara Marx Hubbard, I spent a wonderful time with Barbara down at Esalen. And she said that she had been thinking about this whole business of menopause and had repositioned it as regenopause because we stop to regenerate from the part of our lives where we give birth to more deeply regenerate and give birth to our full selves. And so in spite of the media and in spite of the way that we have been marketed to, women everywhere are feeling a sense of power, and I mean an internal power, a sense of beingness, a sense of fully becoming. And one of the most important things around the book is all of the women ultimately went to their inner guide, their intuition, their inner knowing, something that in our society we don't talk about enough because that is where the answers are. You've spoken earlier today about the deep core. It is that deep core of knowing that tells us which way to go. As Belva Davis said in her piece, "I have relied upon this intuition and followed it fiercely." And of the 21 women, that was one of the most important pieces for speaking, that guide was ultimately what took them in places they never anticipated going.
So were you noticing any sort of common themes in terms of, first of all, we are talking about women who are in their 60s
and beyond.
So they're at a certain point in their own life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
One question I have is, does this wisdom factor, how age-dependent or life cycle-dependent is it? I mean, is it something that women in their 20s or even men, for example, could tap into at any age?
I think you tap into wisdom at every age, but obviously experience and wisdom go together. That does not mean necessarily that in your 60s you are wise. If you have been closed, if you have not paid attention, then you may not have any more wisdom than a 20-year-old. What I want to do is get away from the number equaling something. Wisdom comes in stages. Hopefully, by the time you're in your 60s, you have accumulated some. And if you haven't, you'd better start moving really quickly to get some and to understand what it is that life has to offer you and what you have to offer life. And I think that wisdom in many ways comes from the experience of both giving and receiving
in your life. And to do that, you've got to find your own creative passion, your own interest. And that's what all of these women have done, so that the contribution is enriching to self, but the contribution is also enriching to others. So I think that does that answer how you, to some degree, see wisdom?
Yes. Well, I'm certainly of the opinion, this is a personal, you know, I don't have our own here, that wisdom can be accessed at any age.
Mm-hmm.
And it's simply a matter of a willingness and desire
mm-hmm.
to access it.
Mm-hmm.
So the point you mentioned about someone who's 60, who haven't gone within and is kind of, you know, may not have access to wisdom is absolutely true. And obviously you're right, to the extent that life can be short and shorter for somebody in their 60s, conceivably, than somebody younger, then they ought to hop to it.
And someone younger may have an innate knowing, but life has not refined that aspect of their knowing. So, yes, I see young women that I work with who are in their 30s who have an amazing amount of wisdom and want to be around people who have perhaps more life experience.
Yes.
To enhance that.
We are here, again, we're here with Gwen Mazur, who's written a wonderful book, Wise Talk, Wild Women. And how did you go about selecting your candidates to profile in the book?
I was lucky. I've been surrounded by wild women most of my life, and so a number of these women I knew. Barbara Marx Hubbard I did not know, but had read her work for a long time, and knew that she was someone hanging out on the skinny branches of thought. And I wanted to expose women like Barbara Marx Hubbard, like Jean Houston, like the energy medicine person Donna Eden, to a broader audience. And so part of the selection process was who has information that's of value. Part of the information process was finding a diverse group of women, both ethnically and socioeconomically. So Veena Merchant is South Asian. I've known her for many years through her incarnations from the world of fashion to one of the publishers of one of the largest Indian newspapers in the United States. Dolores Huerta, everybody knows about Dolores Huerta as an activist. And as but what's interesting and what most people don't know is this is a woman who was an activist who at 46 was still having children and raised 11 children during the time that she was out working with the farm workers and becoming an activist and dealing with the unions and being the only woman.
Clearly, the smart aleck in me wants to say that her wisdom got a little bit later than 46, because that sounds like an extremely difficult life.
Actually, it was by choice.
Well,
It was by choice and very conscious choice. And she had children, as she said to me, I have children that range from their 20s to their 50s. And she's dancing with all of them.
Well, that's a beautiful thing, and I think that probably does underscore one of the aspects of wisdom, is that it really is personal, and it is about finding your dance and doing it.
It's finding your joy and doing it. Gladie Thatcher, who founded an enterprise for high school students and alumni resources, always thought that she would be a painter. And she said, one day I realized I was going to have to close the studio door or I would never get the kids to the pediatrician. At the same time, that creative juice was bubbling up, and out of it came these wonderful organizations and her becoming a social philanthropist.
We're here with Gwen Mazur, and tell me, Gwen, are there other common threads that you're seeing between all of the people you profiled, all the wisdom here? One is certainly find your dance, find your joy, live it.
Listen to your inner voice. Listen to your inner voice and follow it fearlessly, knowing that you always have options, I think is something that each one of the women really realized. They were never at a place, I don't think anyone who really has wisdom ever has the feeling, I'm stuck, I have no option. It's a matter of, I need to think about this, but I need to listen as well.
So what are these qualities that these women possess? That, you know, how does it show up in the world? Because they all have their different dance in one way.
Great, great excitement. great excitement, aliveness, awareness, curiosity, sexiness, sensuality, amusement at the world, the ability to laugh, the ability to cry, the ability to really embrace all the thoughts and feelings that are within the human experience, because they are living full out. When we're living full out, we're living from our core. And all of those things are part of being human and not shrinking back from the experience.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that, whether it's a media thing or the psychology thing or whatever, that a lot of us are conditioned, just like we know that success is supposed to come in a certain package, so is happiness or is fulfillment or something, where, you know, a lot of emotions that would otherwise be considered to be negative, whether it's, you know, sadness or whatever it is, that it's part of the human existence, part of our being fully sentient, alive beings. Occasionally we'll have loss or disappointments, and we get to feel them without thinking that we're defined by them.
The loss, the disappointment is part of the growth. There's not a possibility to understand certain things, and every one of us talked about that. Every woman out of all 21 talked about the growth that occurs out of situations that are challenging. That's kind of going through the fire to get through to the other side. And I can think personally of experiences that really made that difference, made that understanding. So we can't shirk from that. The women I'm finding everywhere, women everywhere. That's why I may have mentioned to you my Wild Woman Sunday Salon, because it's a gathering of women to join and create themselves more fully by the stories they relate, the experiences, the things that happen with them, and or the speakers like Barbara or whomever coming to speak and make that difference.
You know, it is a great book, and I think we both know that there is no substitute for having direct experience above what you can read on a page.
That's right.
So what are you doing in terms of getting some of that wisdom integrated out into the world?
Workshops, the Wild Woman workshops. You can find the information on my website. The Wild Woman Sunday Salon, which is coming up in the next month. All of those things are on the website. And lots of speaking. Speaking to groups, speaking to women, speaking to organizations. To spread the word that it gets better, it doesn't get worse, it's your state of mind. No matter what the challenges are, it gets better because you're fully realizing yourself. And I think that women really, men and women, this is the good news. We're in the 21st century. This is not your grandmother's, your mother's century. This is brand new. And you can create yourself newly at every stage of your life, 20, 40, 60. The oldest woman in my book is 99. She drives. She plays bridge twice a week. She bowls in two bowling leagues, and she just had an art show.
Amazing.
And she is busy.
So can guys, what do guys do?
Guys do can do the same thing. You just have to give up ideas of what it should be. All those shoulda, woulda, couldas, we need to get rid of the shoulda, the wouldas, and the couldas, male or female. And, you know, men will say, I have a gut feeling. I have a hunch. We're all masculine and feminine. We're all operating from both sides. I think it's integrating those sides so men can experience more of their feeling side. Women have been out in the work world experiencing a great deal of their masculine. Now we need balance. We need to bring in more of that inner guide, more of that inner feminine, and the men need to do the same thing. And I think we're beginning to see a little tiny shift of consciousness with what's going on politically now and all of the changes that are occurring.
I couldn't agree with you more. Gwen, you're making a great contribution to accelerating the process. Thank you for writing a great book, and thank you so much for joining us on Inside Wealth.
Thank you so much for having me here. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Me too. We have more Wealth to Share right here on KNEW, 910 AM, San Francisco. will, ownership, trust, appreciation. They all work in the financial world, and they are all keys to security and wealth beyond measure. And it's all in our book, Inner Security and Infinite Wealth, subtitled Merging Self-Worth and Net Worth. Hey there, it's me, Stu Zimmerman. Come to our website at insidewealth.net. That's insidewealth.net and order your copy today. That's insidewealth.net. We're blowing the doors wide open on Inside Wealth right here on Talk 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco. Joining us today, please welcome a new contributor to our winning business segment, Hal Adler. He's the president of a Great Place to Work Institute. And you're probably familiar with the annual Fortune magazine. In fact, one just came out with 100 Great Places to Work. Yeah, his company's doing all the work to figure that one out. And Hal, first of all, you've been a great guest before. Thank you so much for joining us on Winning Business.
My pleasure, Stu. Thanks for having me.
And what did you learn from the latest sense of findings? Or is there anything new out there you want to share with our audience?
Yeah. Well, thanks for the opportunity to talk a little bit about this. Certainly, this time of year for us is the most exciting in some ways. This is about 2 weeks after our 2008 Fortune release of the 100 Best Companies to Work For. It just came out in Fortune magazine, hit the newsstands probably about 2 weeks ago, and will be available out there for another two, maybe 3 weeks. It's an exciting time of year. It's the culmination of a lot of hard work that goes on, you know, basically the other 11 months. And we can always, at the beginning of that issue release, look at it and look for new things. And it's incredibly interesting to think about how organizations are maintaining or achieving this great workplace status and really what they're doing to build trust inside organizations. I think one of the most amazing things about this is not necessarily what's new and trendy, but what is consistent and what we see year over year. And among the things that I would point to and look at and try to build as a foundational point is this idea that great workplace leaders get less caught up around the question, what should we do, but really begin to focus our energy on how should we do it. And when we look at all the differentiators and we look at all the things that great companies are doing relative to industry peers and not so great companies, we can really see that every time as a distinctive difference. Great company leaders don't simply think about what to do, but also how to do it. And it's an important variation. It's an important distinction. A couple of just great examples of that. When we think about great workplaces and this important journey we're all on, organizations and leaders in there, you hear a lot about, you know, what are the best companies doing and how do we do it? What are the perks? What are the policies? What are the communication practices? And those are all really good questions. But the danger in that whole cut and paste mentality, you know, figure out what they're doing and let's do it, is not simply that it's old news by the time you find it, but also that what makes that particular practice or policy or perk work is because it aligns with the organization it's happening in. It aligns with the culture. It aligns with who they actually are. A couple of good examples. I can think back to a recent small and medium companies to work for list. We do this every year with SHRM magazine. And one company that really has stood out over the years, they were number one for 2 years in a row, and I think they're number three or four now, is Acuity. Acuity is an insurance company in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. They're about 700 strong. And talk about communication practices and commitment. It's very easy to look at best companies and say, best company leaders are committed to the values of the organization. But Ben Salzman, who took the post several years ago, when he did take the position, was surrounded by a group of leaders, surrounded by a team that were not walking the talk. Now, it's very easy for best practice conversation to lead to great leaders walk the talk. But when a leader stops and thinks about what does that mean for me and how do I execute it, Ben Salzman was leading, or actually came from a team of 13 senior vice presidents that he then presided over. And over a period of a couple of years, had to eventually let go 11 out of the 13. And these were his old buddies. These were his old friends. Ben Salzman wasn't a hired from the outside senior executive. He grew up in the organization, but recognized that if he was really going to get that company to be where it could be, he would have to walk the talk in some painful ways. And that meant for him letting 11 out of his 13 very good friends go, rather than sacrifice the culture of the organization. And that, for me, I look back and I think about something like that, and I realize that it's not a walk-the-talk bullet on a values-framed picture in the break room, but that's the embodiment of commitment. And a lot of good examples like that across best companies is just over and over again, not simply what to do, but how does it look? How does it look for us, and how do we do it?
Hal, you packed a mouthful in a brief, short period of time.
And, well, thanks for letting me go there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you for going there, because if we could distill it to a word, what I do hear is commitment.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing that that is something that shows up in every moment.
That's right.
It's not something that you put on a plan and hope to get there someday.
That's right.
And no matter what, as you mentioned, no matter what the specific tactics are or the specific strategies are, what really it is essential, and the common theme here, which is not a trend, but actually something that is proven over time and time again, what you're saying, is that how you go about committing to these values and how you go about bringing them out into the workplace and reinforcing them and your commitment and your attention to continuing to do so is the driver here.
You know, that's exactly right. And driver's a great word. And if I have time for one more quick story.
Please.
Lincoln Industries is another medium-sized company, about 600 employees in Lincoln, Nebraska. And it's a manufacturing group. And they basically, it's a metal polishing and finishing company. And they have an incredible culture, absolute best practice benchmark culture. And what they do, they so strongly believe in their values. Their values, their kind of values and drivers, they actually call beliefs and drivers. And they begin every formal meeting in that organization, be it a small task team or an all-hands quarterly meeting, they begin each meeting with reading the beliefs and drivers. So whoever owns the meeting or is facilitating or driving that meeting will begin each of those meetings with a recitation, basically, of their beliefs and drivers. It only takes a few seconds, and from the outside, when you see that on paper or you hear about it, it sounds a bit cult-like and a bit strange and a bit kind of indoctrinating. But when you're in the organization and you see it at work and you see in people's eyes how committed they are to making those words real and how committed that leadership is to making those words real, you see how much that makes sense. Now, this is a perfect example of something you cannot cut and paste. If many of us as leaders in industry were to suddenly begin our meetings with a recital of our values, take them off the wall and start reading them, people might begin to look at you cross-eyed. But at Lincoln Industries, because of who they are and the fabric of their culture, this doesn't simply work. It's an important practice and part of what drives them.
And how appropriate it is for President's Day weekend here that we end with Lincoln Industries. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. We really appreciate it, and we hope you come back time and time again.
My pleasure, Stu. Always very happy to contribute to what you're doing. I think you're doing a great job. I congratulate you on your success.
Well, thank you so much, Hal, and congratulations on yours, and let's keep it going together.
Take good care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Well, so there you have it. We heard from Hal Adler and Lincoln Industries as a great example of a commitment where it's not simply just walking the talk, cutting and pasting, as he said. You can't go through the motions here. Just like, you know, there is a difference between having money and living a rich, wealthy life. You know, they're just two separate things. And what we're focused on here is that inside wealth that, you know, and let's use the word commitment, you know, to going to the core. And having that sense of presence in as many moments as we possibly can to do our best, whether it's at home, at work, at play, whatever it is. You know, Gwen Mazur, who wrote that really wonderful book, and I do highly recommend you pick up a copy. You know, Wild Women, what was it? Wise Women, Wild Talk. Yeah. You know, where it really is going to the inner core and living life from that place with all of its gusto. And that's something that Hal is showing. And this, by the way, has a lot of management science behind this. This is not just woo-woo, wishful thought. You know, wouldn't it be great if everybody got along and made money, happily ever after kind of thing? You know, doesn't work like that. There's so much management science that a Great Place to Work Institute and many others as well have shown time and time again this huge correlation between a vibrant corporate culture and sustainable profitability. With Lincoln Industries being a great example of people who actually are committed. So they are creating a culture, not a cult, a culture where people are vibrant and people are committed to having the synergy of the whole being greater than the sum of the parts. and just really doing their best to be of service and whatever it is their particular mantra is and what they're focused on. Which, as far as I'm concerned, is a great segue to the other Lincoln, the Abe guy. You know, the one of the two presidents of President's Day here that we're celebrating. Because our country is no different. In fact, a lot of people think that Mitt Romney should be president because he'd be the CEO of our country and he's most qualified to be CEO. So a lot of people actually look at our country as, in fact, a corporation. Do you? I'm just wondering. Is it about maximizing profits for the country here? Are we simply know at this point, is the country simply a corporation? I don't know. There's something to consider, just popping it out there. From my standpoint, what I'm looking at here is this country is much more than a business, okay? It's a way of life. It's a way of being. It's a culture. This is a culture. Whether it's a corporation or a government or a country, whatever you want to call it, it's a culture. And it goes right back to the core. Culture really emanates from a core belief system, values, and drivers, as Lincoln Industries called it. And so that comes down to each of us. What are our values and drivers? What is it? And that is something we need to go to the core on. We need to go inside, which is something that all of those wise women that Gwen Mazur did, they went inside themselves and asked, understanding they have choices, and come to their core of what is it that makes a difference in their lives? What is it that brings their inner dancer out in the world for them to twirl about in the world and enjoy life the way they want, with a sense of vibrancy and gusto and whatever words you want to use? And whether you're a guy or a gal, does it really make a difference? Aren't we all human beings that way? And don't we all want to, you know, kick up our heels in our own way and just be thrilled to wake up in the morning and say, yes, what a great day to be alive. Isn't that what we want? That's what I want. And for the most part, I get it, but you know what I mean? We all have our moments. And then the moments that are other, well, they're also there. So let's not ignore them. And at the same time, whatever you feed grows. You feed all the negative crap, it's going to grow and pile up high, and my guess is it's going to go way high above eye level. You know, where you can't even see your way out of it. Or you can focus on what is it that really makes your heart sing? What is it that gets you out of bed? What are your dreams? What are your visions? Not just for your own life, but for this country, this world, this whole existence, this whole game of life that's been created. Yeah, we got thousands of years of history behind us. I think we know a lot so far in terms of what works and what doesn't work. And we can give in and say, that's the way it is. Man is inherently sinful. Man is inherently evil. Man is inherently violent and killing and destructive. And that's just the way it is. Get used to it. Get over it. And here's my particular prescription. If you follow this one, you're done. Well, I think so far, with all due respect, that has proven that it doesn't really work as an effective approach. Maybe because deep down, there's a deeper truth. And just maybe the deeper truth is that it is a gift simply to be alive. No matter how you go about either praying to God, no matter how you go about your life, if we honor each other, respect each other, care for each other, create a world of peace, all men are created equal was written once upon a time as the founding of our country, not as a bill of goods, hopefully, but bill of rights. And isn't it time to take that to a new level? So I'm really inviting you, as we go through this presidential election, to really go within in your own core and see what kind of culture you want this country to have and which leader is best likely to inspire, especially given the fact that we do have a lot of money going out of this country every minute. You know, $720 billion have gone out so far. $720 billion have gone out in Iraq. It could be put to better use. That's just one country heard from, county heard from, yours truly. Whatever yours is, please take the time and go within and figure out for yourself, because we can make a difference. And just like the Giants win the Super Bowl, anything is possible. I got to tell you something. This inside wealth thing is not just a wishful thought. There are companies like Hal Adler's List and others who are putting these principles into practice every day. In fact, we're developing a local Bay Area group doing just that. It's called a referral network, and I want you to come to our website at insidewealth.net. That's insidewealth.net, and meet some of the service providers who do walk their talk, who do have a culture of a dedication to excellence of service, of a sense of relationship and not just transaction, the kind of people you'd really like to do business with. So take a look to see how you can take your lives to the next level with people like them. Well, we're just about done. And I just want to say happy President's Day, and also invest in yourself, your passions, your purpose, and your planet.
Join us again same time next week on Talk 910 KNEW. And be sure to visit our website at insidewealth.net. Subscribe to our podcast, blog, or learn more about Inside Wealth with Stu Zimmerman. Thanks for listening. Talk 910 KNEW.
It's amazing how little things can make such a big impact on people's lives. Like how a 5-inch landmine can rob a woman of her legs. How the tiniest bacteria can paralyze a child forever. Or how a small gift from you can give that person a wheelchair. Instantly give them mobility. Give them dignity. Give them hope. There are currently over 100 million children, teens, and adults in desperate need of wheelchairs. Adults who want to go to work so they can feed their family. Children who want to go to school. And a small gift from you can help them get there. Funny how a $75 gift from you can be such a big deal to someone else. To offer a donation or to find out how you can help, call the Wheelchair Foundation today. Smile. You're about to change someone's life forever.
Call toll-free 888-378-3839. 888-378-3839.